off to, of all places, Montgomery, which is in Alabama, of course, which is not only Trump country heartland, but it's also the heart of the civil rights movement. Why are you there, Bruce Shapiro?
Well, you know, we're 2 weeks out from the midterms, and I decided to spend a few days tooling around this kind of flashpoint area of the country. Spent the last few days in Georgia, which really has become one of the crucial divided parts of the U.S. We have in Georgia a governor's race going on, which just encapsulates everything that has been happening in American politics here. So you have a Democrat named, first of all, the race is so close in Georgia, as it is nationally, that it is impossible to call. You have two governors, gubernatorial candidates, Stacey Abrams, who's an African-American progressive Democrat. You have the current Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, who is a Trump Republican on steroids, and they have been going at it hammer and tongs. It's not just that the election in Alabama, or the election in Georgia, rather, is close, but that it captures the dynamic of what has been happening around the country. On the one hand, you have Abrams charging that the Republicans have been suppressing African-American votes. Her own vote, her own campaign, is based on turning out the votes of young voters, of previously unregistered African-American and Latino residents. And the National Democratic campaign is very much the same thing. It's all based on turning out these highly motivated, supposedly constituencies, but constituencies that usually don't vote in midterms. And here in the heart of the old Confederacy, but also where the civil rights movement began in Alabama and in Georgia, that has particular emotional resonance. At the same time, you have the Republicans, you have Kemp, Secretary of State Kemp in Alabama, pushing to suppress new voters. The Associated Press reported last week that there are some 65,000 previously unregistered voters on the rolls whom Kemp, in his office as Secretary of State, which is a bureaucratic state-level office, not like the foreign policy one, has been refusing to certify these new voters so that their votes can be properly counted. Yesterday,
America really is a failed state. Sorry, Bruce. That's just so obscene, so appalling.
This is why one way of viewing this election and the reason that I'm here is as a continuation of the struggle that began in 1954 with Brown versus Board of Education, 1955, a few blocks from where I stand, with the Montgomery bus boycott. You walk around these towns in the South, and now finally the heroes of the civil rights movement are honored with memorials and statues and museums. The bad old days of segregation are remembered as the bad old days. And yet, the structural legacy of that era, the exclusion of people from voting, the persistence of bigotry in American politics, continue to define the election. And of course, Trump and the meaning of the Trump era has been to openly embrace the resentments of the 1960s and 1970s, to openly embrace the resentments of white people. Brian Kemp, the Georgia gubernatorial candidate, the Republican, yesterday was accusing his opponent, state legislator Stacey Abrams, of wanting illegals to vote, of encouraging undocumented immigrants to vote, based on a comment she had made about participation in politics by Latinos and undocumented migrants, a very different matter. It's that kind of appeal to racial and ethnic and, yes, gender polarization, which is defining the election in Georgia. And it's what's defining increasingly these last 2 weeks of a very emotional campaign whose outcome is as uncertain as anything I have seen. You know, we now have fair confidence, but nowhere near 100% confidence that Democrats are in a position to take back the House. The Senate is completely up in the air, with the Republicans having a slight advantage, but it all comes down to these local races. And so many of them are being driven in this same way. We always talk about the economy. This year, the economy is very much in second place in a lot of these elections. It's very much behind identity and anger and polarization. We have, even here in Alabama, where you've got a strong economy and you've got a Republican governor who's got a 65% likelihood of being reelected. Even here, you've got a Democratic candidate, Walt Maddox, who is working very hard to turn out previously unregistered constituencies. And even here, you've in what has been a much more sleepy race than next door in Georgia. These key divisive issues, Medicaid for all being called socialism, the questions of new voters, questions of Latino voters, these are at the heart of the political debate. It's a remarkable time in which the country is still being shaped by the late aftershocks of segregation and the civil rights movement.
We've only got moments left, but a couple of words, if you wouldn't mind, on certain events in Saudi Arabia and Turkey.
Well, first of all, to have the Khashoggi murder, and let's just call it that, assassination, coming on the anniversary of the Balaba Five, is just worth thinking about. What is the life of a journalist worth? Execution of journalists as an act of state. Look, this poses a problem not just for the Trump administration, but for the whole American political establishment, which of course has been so close to the Saudis for years. This is the gravest fracture in American-Saudi relations since after 9/11, when the Bushes and others who'd been so close to the Saudis had to sort out their relationship at a time when
they had to smuggle a lot of them out of the country.
They did indeed. And now you're in a position where both Democratic and Republican lobbying firms that were signed up for huge multimillion-dollar contracts from the Saudis have at least temporarily stepped aside, turned back their contracts. Let's separate out the question of American-Saudi relations, which I suspect will recover, from the question of press freedom. The other way to look at this, which I think has been underappreciated, is it's the latest example of the impunity that authoritarians feel in assassinating journalists. This is actually a hallmark of our time, the assassination of journalists from Russia to Saudi Arabia, now to Annapolis, Maryland, is one of the signal events of this era. It's a sign of democracy's corrosion, and it's a time of great peril for my colleagues around the world.
Our voice from America, Bruce Shapiro, Exec Director of the Dart Center for Journalism and Trauma at Columbia University.